Good morning, everybody. How are you guys doing this morning? Well, I just read for a little bit. Read for a little bit here in Philippians and really didn't take too long in there, but you know, I was talking with Robin this morning, and it was really much a blessing to talk to Robin this morning. And it's a reminder and it's exhortation. Anybody, any time I really talk to anybody that is partaker of the anointing of Jesus Christ, it's a blessing. And it's really good. One of the things we were talking about is the simplicity of the gospel. And how we're not worthy. And we're never going to be worthy. And that is the point of the gospel. And we have so many times, we have two sides of that coin. We really do. We have the one that thinks they're worthy and they don't need God's grace. And it keeps them from walking in it because they really do. They might confess that they do, but really what they walk in is they're trying to walk in their own self-worth and such alike. And then you have the other side of the coin, which is one that is the unworthiness that you know that you're unworthy by keeps you from walking in the grace of God. So you have both sides of that coin, and both really are just dead wrong. Because it's not about you or how worthy you are, or me, or how worthy I am. No, it's about the worthiness of Jesus Christ and what He has done and the sufficiency of His sacrifice. Sufficiency of His sacrifice. And I really want to take a look at Philippians. And this is something that Paul calls himself. And here you got Paul, who went out, and you know, most of us know what Paul has done. We read Acts. What he's been through. But he called himself what? What did he call himself? Chief of sinners. Because he had that same battle himself. I want to start at Philippians, actually not chapter 2. Chapter 3 says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord, to write the same things to you, to me, indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe." Once again, I probably came up here and said this many times. I've probably been through this same scripture many times. But it's something that we really need a constant being a reminder of. It's something that we do not need to forget. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. These are guys trying to mix their own righteousness or works into faith, and it just doesn't work. By their own self-worth, by their own self-righteousness, that they can somehow enter in the kingdom of God. But that's not the way. Jesus said, "I am the way. No man come unto the Father but by me. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh." Worship God in the Spirit. That's that soul being connected with the Spirit again. They don't have no confidence in this flesh. This flesh can't save them. What they do or don't do is not the thing that saves you. It's what Jesus Christ has done. And that's it. And whether we believe it or not, whether we truly believe it or not, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Now, this is Paul, chief of sinners. And he had a zeal of God. And he was a Pharisee among Pharisees. And he's about to go to describe what he's done and how he was. Though I might circumcise the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. All those things that he had great zeal for, and touching the law blameless, and concerning the zeal persecuting the church, he thought he was doing God's service when he went and persecuted the church of Christ, the body of Christ. I mean, he thought that's what, these were blasphemers out there. That's why it says concerning zeal. But he counts all these things as dung. And he lost all those things, his position in that church, and the way which he was going, he left it all that he may know Christ. And being found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. That part, not having mine own righteousness. Even though he touched the law blameless, and he done all these things, that wasn't good enough. That wasn't going to save him. And even though I count myself as just absolutely worthless, failure, disaster, wreck, it doesn't matter. It's not about that. It's about Jesus Christ and his righteousness. That cloak that he gave us to have if we will but just receive it. And nothing can separate me from the love of Christ. Nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. What separates us from the love of Christ is our own selves. Either one trying to be good enough or deserving to get it. You will never, that will never happen. Or being found yourself so unworthy that you can never have it. That's never going to happen. You're not worthy. That's why he died. That's why there's the gospel. And nevertheless, are we going to believe the gospel? Because those things that held us back for years don't have to hold us back anymore. Nothing should keep us from standing in the gospel of grace. Nothing. In spite of how I am. In spite of how you are. God is good. And are we going to stand in that? But that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. And I was looking at that and I said, Lord, I don't know really how to describe that or put that in words, or if I don't know if I know that much, what that means. And one thing I want to hit on, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that righteousness is not our own. That's not something we earn. And I really want to establish that. That's not our righteousness. It's not. It's his righteousness which he gives unto you. That's what we stand in. That's what Paul counted all those things lost to stand in, was his righteousness. But this, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection, He died on the cross and was resurrected to eternal life, was he not? That's what God did, raised him from the dead. And the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. That fellowship of his sufferings, let's see how Jesus walked in this. And I was kind of taking a close look on this. Jesus walked in the sense of he did nothing but the will of the Father. Remember where he was at that point where he said, where he was praying, resisting against sin to the sweating of blood? Not my will be done, but yours, Father. That is putting off this old man. Being made conformable, and the fellowship of his sufferings, that's putting off this old man. That's taking no heed to this old man to do thy will, O Lord. When what's thy will? Loving you and loving one another. And that's the fellowship of his sufferings there. Being made conformable unto this death. That old man dying. Pinning that sucker up on the cross. That you may be found in him in his righteousness. Amen. Not as though I have already attained. And this is the mark that we press. This is the battle which we fight towards. Not as though I had already attained. Either were already perfect. But I follow after. If that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ. That is grabbing what Christ has for him that he's apprehended of. Did Jesus Christ not die for the sins of the whole world? Isn't that what it says in 1 John? That means there's a promise that he laid out. There was a sacrifice that he laid out that anybody that would receive could enter into his rest and have eternal life in him and the forgivenesses of sins and being grafted back into the true vine, Jesus Christ, life eternal. That's the gift that he's giving us. That's the gift that's God given us. That he may apprehend that. That you may apprehend that. Brethren, I can't count not myself that have apprehended. I'm not there, is what Paul's saying. I haven't got there yet. And I'm sure he fell this way and that way that we in ways we don't know. And we don't need to know. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I press toward the mark. I don't care what happened yesterday. I don't care what happened last week. I don't care what happened 2 years ago. I'm going to press toward the mark. And there's so many things that get in our way. That which was in the past, or that which we suffer with, I mean in the things of in our flesh that we suffer with. The things that hold us back from receiving the grace of Jesus Christ. The things that hold us back standing sure in His promise. I'm going to forget those things. And regardless that I am a scumbag, disaster, jerk-faced, selfish guy, regardless of all these things, I'm going to stand because Jesus is good. David stood not because he had his own righteousness or that he was good or that he was special. He stood because of Jesus' promise. And that he was good. He elected God as his shepherd. He elected Jesus as his shepherd, his provider, his everything, his life. Are we going to do the same? Are we going to do the same? Because it's not about us. It's about what he has done. And regardless if you fall one side of that coin or the other side of that coin, it's about what he has done. So if you battle against the one or battle against the other, put both of them aside and step in the grace of Jesus Christ and his promise, which he has already done, which he has already fulfilled, which he has already completed. Let's stand in that and put all those things like Paul did as loss and as dung for the excellency to know him. Amen? And one thing I want to say, and I've caught my attention in Jeremiah, and then I'm going to wrap it up. I'm done. Because one thing I didn't mention was, nothing shall separate us from the love of Christ. Except what? Ourselves. And this is where I want to get to in Jeremiah, if I can find it quick enough. And it is in chapter 17. You guys really don't have to go there. I'm just going to read a couple verses and I'm done. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? We got to understand our default position. That's it. And despite that being it, Jesus still had the love for us to go and fulfill his promise for us. And despite that our heart is that way, let's trust in him and what he has done, not in this old nasty thing. Let's get to where we're at, David. Lord, create in me a clean heart. Here's my paraphrase of it. Lord, create in me a clean heart. Mine's filthy. But if we're his workmanship and we submit unto him, he will work those things out of us because he's good. And he will work that love in us. Because he can do that and he's God. And he's finished the work. Let's make him our shepherd. Let's make him our God. Let's make him our life. He's good. And let's not rely on any other thing but what he has done. And by his power to change us. I'm done.
Good night, everybody. That's been the high point.
Everything else from here is downhill. The safety of going through the same things over and over again. Because we need to be so familiar with them, they're there. We can appropriate them when we need them. And it doesn't matter how many times you go through this chapter. Something else gets ministered. You know, I could get judged by other people for being funny looking. I don't dress real good. And whatever. But I know that I bring nothing that evaluates myself as having been worth anything. And you know, I wasn't born that way. Some of that was the Lord's hand in his grace and mercy humiliating me. I have, when my thinking has been askew, been guilty of going, well, darn, Lord, I did this and I did that and I've done this, I gave up that. And really, the course of that conversation is, I'm worthy. I'm worth something here. All this stuff I had to turn away from, I'll tell you, that doesn't get anywhere. You know, and His grace and His mercy, He actually put me in a place. Well, I don't have anything to focus. There's nothing. I haven't made that argument again in years. Not because I decided it was worthless, because He showed me the worth of not of being, what does He say here? The worthiness of being able to know Him. And to participate in the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. Listen, if you're not conformable unto His death, you don't know Him and you don't have eternal life. Simple. That's the gospel there. That's that verse 10, that's the gospel. And my confidence isn't in anything that I do. My confidence is in what He did. And I'm not going to go over all the same verses that he read, but I will point to verse 14. I pressed toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. And it's all in Christ Jesus. All in Christ Jesus. And if you're in Christ Jesus, then you are on the road to receive the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What does Colossians say? Colossians 3, verse 3. You're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When you're in Christ Jesus, you mortify the deeds of the flesh. You're in fellowship with His sufferings. You're knowing Him. What all the rest of that verse say? The power of His resurrection, you're in it. Being conformed unto His death, you have it. You have no confidence in yourself and your flesh and your ability to make yourself worthy. And this is a process that we have an example of. When they wanted to praise Jesus for some of the stuff He did, some of the healings, and you know, they wanted to take Him aside and crown Him king and all kinds of things, what was His response? His response was, I do that only that which the Father has given me. I say only those things that the Father has given me. He didn't take any credit for it on Himself. He was humble. He was our example for taking no credit. And He did it, you know, He did it perfectly. We can touch that when we're in Him. We can be partakers of that when we're in Him. That's when we can see what's going on out there through His eyes, not through our own carnal, can't discern day from night, can't discern white from black or green from red. Our eyes don't see things. They don't see kingdom things. Now what Jesus told Nicodemus? You don't even know enough to know you can't see the kingdom of heaven. There's nothing that we're called on to pursue or do that Jesus didn't do perfectly first. And it is not our hope that we're going to do them perfectly and impress God. It is His covering that's going to allow us now and then to get something right. And it's because He's good. That humility He took when He was apprehended by Pilate. And he's like, aren't you going to say anything to defend yourself? He didn't. He took the treatment and he did what Matthew 5, he turned the other cheek. You're not taking me down here. I'm laying down my life. And I win. When you watch what he did and you see, go through the Beatitudes, he did it all. You know, that wasn't legalist theory. It was not pie in the sky and the by and by, we'll get this right someday, somewhere. He walked it in the here and now, where all his people, all his disciples, all the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin, they all saw it. And therefore we have, it's a quote from the Old Testament, I believe, James 4:10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. Jesus was the ultimate in humility. He did not have to be humiliated. He was already there. And He walked that perfectly, all the way to the cross. And He took that humiliation for us. Not because He was wrong or doing something incredibly stupid that nobody could under, all shaking their heads. Why? What are you doing? Why aren't you defending yourself? He's laying His life down and taking the humiliation of a cross death, a death meant for criminals. And the Father, He didn't just lift Him up. He raised Him up on the third day. If we could understand, if we could grasp a hold of choosing humility and trusting Him to be our avenger, to be our reconciliation, to be our life, that He in like manner will lift us up on the last day. I want to go back to Philippians for a moment, chapter 2. And it's again an exhortation about choosing to put our minds into, plug them into the reality of life in Jesus. Let's start at verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Where have we heard this before? Being of one mind, all speaking the same things, in 1 Corinthians 1:10, right? Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Now, what that means is all that arrogant, presumptuous boasting and carrying on that we do, stroking one another's pride, and it's worthless and it's deadly. If you submit yourself to carry a lowliness of mind and esteeming others is better than yourself, you've got a ministry. You have plugged in to being in, hidden in Christ Jesus. And you do that by choosing it. You either are or you're not. Go back to what I was talking about, you know, the Lord taking away one of my wah-wahs. He's turned me into somebody who has the testimony is, that's all other stuff. That all that crap was crap. I didn't lose anything. And what I've gained far exceeds all of that. Not just tenfold or a hundredfold. It's thousandsfold better than what it was. And not because I am worth anything. It can happen to you. He's good. Let Him do the surgery. You need heart surgery. Let Him do it. Humility. not being found being so pleased with yourself. Remembering, you bring nothing. You bring nothing to this game. The only thing you've got is standing in His righteousness. That's all you've got. And that's enough. It's all you need. But the testimony of His Word is clear, and it's all over the place. You can't just read it and not do it. The challenge for you today is to appropriate Jesus' humility and lowliness of mind. Appropriate it. Learn to walk in it. And trust Him to show you how to do it. Ask Him to give you a heart similar to David's. One that wants to please Him no matter what the cost. No matter what the personal cost. Because that's the only thing that has any value. It's the only thing that has a payoff. Let Him be good to you today. I'm done.